I'm recording the different sessions, so you have in different sessions, it will be easier to navigate the audio if you want later on. So we were discussing with Lelian, Loris e Antonino. Poi loro fanno all'inglese o vi chiamano professore? Ogni volta che dire professore? Vi chiamano per nome, è di Anglo-Saxon fashion. Ok. No, it's important the convention, right? We were discussing with them other issues about the talk, and I think it is very nice that we share this conversation with you. So I think we have 10 minutes or so of conversation, starting from them, and then if some other of you wants to say something, otherwise we are kind of intermezzo, interlude, like in a concert that, you know, you have, and then we go on. Allora, chi vuole? Ditemi.
No, I'm just with the Sergio. And no, I'm quite familiar, even if I'm quite familiar with this lecture, especially for this step, I think there is something really important to sharing, which is a kind of link and, let's say, machine that puts information in different words. And there is this idea, which is how to discover the highs and falls. I mean, how to put connection between some painter like Balogun, which worked a lot with dynamics, and some other issues starting from Eichmann. And it's a kind of, let's say, world, really apartment to those which are completely hidden, not visible. And I think today, thanks to Professor Sarge, there is this idea to have read that impractical is a process. And impractical gives us the tools to discover in action in other worlds, some other issues, to be interpreted. That is the main object of our work in general. And I'm quite interested in this field because even my thesis works a lot in this kind of issues. And somebody will know it. And I'm even glad to have, after different years, this kind of thing, because never is happening if you are not able to pick up exactly some issues behind it. And I think this is should be interesting to other people. This is my point of view for this step of Eichmann. I wrote this book, I think, two times. I mean, it's for me, other things. That's why I'm here today, just to earn this, I think, interesting. And I don't know if you want to, just to add something, my idea is to start thinking about attacking the side by generating the side by itself. Because the house is moving, and because of this movement,
sight is going to be materialized, something unbelievable. And this is a very interesting thing for me personally. I think, of course, it can be quite interesting also for you, because it's a completely opposite way to consider the way that you are approaching the sight. So this is a discussion that can be quite useful, because you are going to make this chessboard, as you call it, and so you have a sight, but you have a tool which is materializing the way you see the sight. That is a crisis every time you are dealing with a particular. And I'm saying this to the parents, particularly to diploma disease students.
Very good.
This series of lessons reminds me of when I was following the CAD course of Professor Sandra Constantino. And I remind, it was 5 years ago, it reminds me of this fact that I got really fascinated about the first houses of Iceland, but I got fascinated not of the house itself, but of the representation. So this black background with mm-hmm. no context. And it was kind of a point that opened a lot of questions. And the most interesting part of this lesson should come after the lesson itself. At least we used to have some discussion among friends, among colleagues, about what we understood out of the lesson and out of the work of Eisenman. So, generally, the lessons of Professor Sandro are not something that you hear or you read and you finish there. Mm-hmm. It's something that it is layered. So, sometimes Professor Sandro is speaking to you and then I'm speaking to the others. So there are a lot of links, of hidden links, that somebody that can get curious of some activities or some projects of Eisenman can find whole new words after that. So don't take these lessons as a package that mm-hmm. once you hear it or once you read it, it's all. It's a never-ending process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I remember in different moments of my life some comments of my of the people that were working with me or my students. So I'm always very, very interested, not only to have the intellectual, of course, challenge, but also this, you know, because I see things with your eyes, which for me is very also interesting to see how these things are seen from the eyes. I remember that, I still remember one lesson many years ago, probably in 1991 or 1992, that the students were saying, but you are cracked our brain and you are putting something inside. I really remember that. I remember another time in Africa, and I was teaching in Africa, and it is interesting because in Africa, there are certain things of a closed system, and the student was kind of frightened about this. And he was saying, but professor, you are really electroshocking us. Mm-hmm. And I remember that. And I said, in a way, it's true. In a way, it's true. You have to accept that. You know, you are in a change of transformation. And going with this idea that is not going to giving you a package, I'm not giving you a box. This year also some of the students said, or I don't know which thing, you are creating windows in reality. You are creating doors or windows through which we have to go through. And the other is another way to look the same thing. Is basically all my idea is activate you. The whole idea is activate you, an individual designer, thinker, through a very dangerous process, that is the idea to create autonomy, which is a very dangerous process, of course, but that is the whole underlying thing. Well, The point that both the issue, I want to really very briefly comment on this. The issue of the site can be chosen or not chosen by you depending on what type of chessboard you want to build. So it will be a decision that some of you, or because you are within that type of things, that you are interested to work on that, will pick that. Others may not be particularly interested on site and will have another type of approach, more syntactic. So it will be a strategic decision that we'll take later on, depending on what. For some of you, site will not be important. For others, it will be the approach to it. So it will be different, okay? First. Second, this idea that there is a virtuality in a way. There are virtual hidden forces that are creating by this type of operation that ties the thing together, even if you don't see, is basically one aspect of your comment that, yes, it's true that it's coming from a philosophical point of view, but again, what we are really interested is that it's something interesting from a design point of view. So if you look at these things like that, we can see the lines, the virtual line of the generating forces, like they are inscribed in the operation, although there are lines that we don't see, you know, but they are there. And so I think that is a very interesting also of observation. So all of them are very enriching for me. So if some of you wants to say, consider that the things that I'm taking are your observation, because I'm talking to myself in a way. No? So if there are comments, please do it. Ok? Che pensate che la possiamo chiudere quella cosa in fondo? Because the quality of the images probably it start to be late in the morning. I think it would be better to be more close. Ok, so let's move on. And now in a way, this little house, this Guardiola house, in a way is an experiment in vitro, in a way. It is very interesting that in reality, also this, in many ways, can be seen through the category of implosion. In reality, it's an implosion, because in this particular case, all the forces are kept inside. So it's a type of implosion, although after 20 years of the other one. But now we can see a project in which all these ideas are combined together in a real interesting piece of thinking of architecture. So if you look at the building itself, it's a very good building, but it's not a masterpiece as the building itself. But as an architectural thinking, for the amount of generating ideas that are here is really, let's say, a text of contemporary architecture. This is a school of architecture in Cincinnati, and this is also built. So probably this, to me, is probably the highest point of, or one of the highest points of the Eisman research. Let's try to understand how all these things come together in this work, and how this work is actually a combination of different high-level intellectual approach that we found it already, okay? Program-wise, this is a school of architecture. So it's a rather interesting program for an architect to do, so the program is also interesting, etc. Technically speaking, this school is an extension of an existing building. This is the first thing that you have to understand. There is an existing building on site, on a campus site, that was this building here. Okay. This was existing building of the school of architecture, okay, with some distribution elements, whatever. And it was moving in the typical kind of zigzag fashion, typical of a kind of functionalistic thinking, a piece of machinery itself, right? It belongs to that kind of thinking, you know, it's a piece of machinery, put it there, the pieces, the parts, so it belongs to a typical modernist type, or functionalist type of approach. So that is the existing situation. The first concept that arrives into this is to apply the idea of the in-between. Okay? So you cannot understand what this project is if you don't understand the idea of the in-between that we were discussing here. So again, instead of creating another building somewhere else, or in other ways, many other typical technique is that if you insert something new on there, or you create it somewhere else, basically the idea in this case is to use the idea of the in-between. That means to activate the forces close to it, to create an intermediate space that is an in-between. Okay? So the idea there it is that you stick another building, this one is rectilinear, and the other one is instead, it is ondulating, okay? So you stick a building that is ondulating instead, and you stick it close, okay? In doing this operation, basically you are, again, creating the center of interest between the dominant space in between. Exactly as we saw before. So the space in between becomes the strength of it. Okay? So everything that is new, in a way, it is contained here. So the program of the new space, so-called, they are here and in the space in between, instead of being put in somewhere else. Okay? So the first thing is the implementation of the in-between. And what is the second? There.
The second is the connection between the old building and the new.
So the first technique is in between. The second. Oscillation, clearly. The second is the swing. Simple. First is the first and that is the second. The second is swinging. That seems too crazy. Be calm. How you can oscillate a building? Palladio is dying. How you can oscillate not one building, two buildings? You understand that we are talking about something that how you can approach the idea that you are creating architecture through an oscillation is completely anti-tectonic. You guys are out there. What are you the hell doing? Again, the concept is that this will not generate a building. Will generate a field of forces, he will generate that in another context. He will generate a field of forces within which the game, I use this word purposely, of the project will take play. The oscillation doesn't immediately create a building. Create a field of forces within which the game of the project will take place. Now, so what we see here, what it is basically the oscillation of this. And these lines represent the field of forces. within which the project will take place. Capito? If you don't use the right words, you never get anywhere. If you use layering here, you don't understand a thing. It's not the right word. If you don't understand what we mean by field of forces, you don't understand anything. You must use the right word to the right concept in order to become an operation. Otherwise, you cannot operate. Instead to cut the appendix, you cut the eye. Okay? So the right words are absolutely fundamental. Few words, but very clearly defined. So you can build an expertise. If you are confusing with the word, you cannot create an expertise. You make a disaster. Few words, very clearly defined. So this is clear. Okay? Now, what is a very peculiar thing if we look at this? It is something that now we are in this, we forgot Palladio, everything seems normal here. But there is one thing that is not normal at all. If you look at this, let's see if you notice about this process of oscillation. It is a funny thing. Mariana, what do you think it could be? Where I want to go? What is the funny thing? There is A and B, right? What is A? Eh? Yeah. What? No, okay. Let's focus that I use A and B within this, okay? I'm telling you, what is A and what is B within that? No, don't forget that. Just look at this. What is A and what is B?
A is...
Eh? Exactly. And B is the new. Right? Okay. If you are looking at this with an entity approach, A is existing and B is the new. Now, if we look at this, what is really surprising? Think for 1 second, it's so simple. What is really funny? Eh?
Like,
there is something very basic that is so strange. If you think in terms of entity, A and B. B is the new project, right? A is the existing structure. How the hell the existing structure undulates? That is A. I mean, this is funny, right? If you say, I can understand that I make undulating the new, but to what kind of crazy rationale that you have the existing that is undulating too, but that is existing. Right. It's the more solid thing. It is there. What does it mean that you make it undulating? And why this is important, we understand. So, the interesting thing, that this is a real depth. There are two things that are undulating. There is not one and the other. It's a real duetto. It's like two dancers that are undulating, are moving. Not one that is fixed and the other one that is doing the ballet. Okay? Both of that. And then if you think about a second, this is rather strange, you know, because one thing is existing, it's solid. But since the answer is this one, that you are creating a field of forces within which the game of the design takes place, that will make a lot of sense, as you are going to see. What is happened there? Same thing as Guardiola, but to a kind of more complex level, in two levels. First, because of, you're going to see in 1 second. First, let's say, it's much more complex from a distributional point of view. So you must have a kind of logic of organization of the building. And second, because in following the lines that Antonino was telling, why Graziola is an implosion, basically, so in reality a symbolic attitude with the site. It's a symbolic attitude, it's not real. Everything is inside, it's projecting kind of idea. Here, no. Here the site really plays a role. And now I'll tell you how. So it's different in two, and then you can start to see in the model, we see in the model, and I think I should have, well, okay, and here is absolutely crucial. Here you see the undulation of the first thing, the second, okay. So, since the project become a game within the field of forces, what does it mean in reality? Is that you are creating the rules, the variation rules through our undulation within which addition of the existing structure can take place. That is what you are telling. I'm telling that within that, I may, for example, create a terrace, you see here, okay? I can create an addition to the existing building as a terrace, for example. Or I can create a cantilever, or I can create certain things that are generating by the system of forces. The fact that you are creating this or not creating this, in a way, is secondary. Because it's the field of forces that allow that or don't allow that. So this gives the rules in the way that even the existing can do certain things. First level. Same thing of course happen here. So there are different things that may happen or not happen depending on what you are interested to do. But the other very important thing is that you see here. You see with this line, and you see with other things. What does it mean? Means again, that since this creates, like in this case, that everything is designed, means that these are basically lines that can be activated or not activated in different ways. Sometimes this virtual line, you take it and you use it. Sometimes become build artifacts. Some other case become just a sign on the wall, on the ceiling. In some other cases, organized landscape, etc. So become those field of forces. Does not mean that all the forces create buildings. Other forces create paths. Other forces create landscape. Other forces create the system of lighting. Other forces, you understand? But they are all compatible, and not only compatible, they are generating by the same movement, and it's an oscillation movement. Okay? How you the hell are going to organize this from a typological point of view? Without making a suicide. Simple. There is a very simple distribution system, very simple. This is the gallery system. You have a gallery. You have a gallery. That is a distribution. And then you have things on left and things on right. Right? This is the distribution. You have a gallery. And on both sides, you have things out of the gallery, of an inside gallery, basically. So it's a typology that goes from, you know, Milano, things, you know, it's a typical typology, you know, the gallery typology. The difference here is, first, that the gallery, in a way, it is curved. And since there are the forces, there are a lot of cantilevers in here that are generating for that thing. And there are everything except that it is tilted and moved because of that forces, and also because of all the other lines, you can play a different level phases, double phases, things like that. But the distribution system is this one. So it's rather, I mean, in reality, in a way, it's rather straightforward. Understand? But the result is rather complex. So when you see better, you understand now, finally, I think you understand why it's so important that you have the material available to you. No? Without I have to do so. This is in the internet. So everything that I'm showing is in your hand. Okay? So, these are the plans. So you may look it more carefully if you want. And if you want to understand better, what does it mean, that idea? Oops. Ah, c'è un film allora. Huh, I didn't remember it was a movie. Well, anyway. If you want to understand better, for example, how I understand exactly the observation of Antonino, 100%, because I'm a teacher myself and I know what he was interested in, because he's working with diploma studio probably on site, is very important issue. So that's important that some of those students that do that, they do the kind of reasoning that plays a relationship with sight, because that is an important element. So if you see here, you start to understand that, what different elements are generating out of that, what are landscape elements, what are paths, what are things, what are... Blah, blah, blah. Naturally, all this not only moves in plan, also moves in three-dimensional. So the field of forces is not only a planner, is how you play the game at different levels, you know. That's why these things are you know, like that. Okay. Here it is. So this is the fact of the inside space. That is also rather pleasant, rather beautiful, but I don't know. If you see the typical deconstructivist architect, let's say Gunther Behnisch and Sun in the early 90s, etc., visually the result seems similar, but in one way it's a linguistic approach. So it's a problem of language. In this case, actually, it's not the language is a consequence in a way. But the forces are inner generating through this logic. It's very different in reality. Oh, so this is what it is, because and now you understand how it is generating, why in a way you feel that field of forces that takes the things together, while generally the typical deconstructivist approach is exploding on the outside. Here instead there is always, I think that observation is very interesting to understand that. So in a way, to put it at extreme, Eichmann is always an architect of the implosion, in a way. You know, I can open wide this, but it is really. So there is a field of forces that are generated, even if they involve the site, but they keep the thing together. And the virtual, so that means the lines that you don't really perceive, and the lines that are being together, in a way. So, this is this building, and amazing enough, it is for the architect that was known to put a pilaster in the middle of a master bedroom, is also a rather livable and very pleasant building for the community, for the school, etc. So it's quite a successful building from many points of view. So no, I kind of thought, I think also the chief, you know, that's why several people, and this is clear in the book of Digitalizement, that is the other book afterwards, there is always that type of typological distribution approach also in Eichmann. In some projects, actually, they are approached through a thinking in the distribution and distortion of the distribution, actually. but with a kind of approach that we may call it psychological in a way, you know, going from the psychology. But anyway, these are something between parentheses and it's not really relevant. So, this I think it is enough. Up to this point, you have enough elements to understand this peak, you know. You understand that here we are not talking of a building. I don't go in explaining where the bathroom is, what it is, or what is the philosophy of the building, or whatever. I'm really delve into the techniques. In order that these techniques you understand to a certain extent, the depth, the intellectual depth, the historical depth, and also the actual technique itself. How you can start to simulate these techniques. And then if you start to simulate these techniques, you gradually learn how to do it. And if you gradually learn, you are a person that is able to operate. And if you are able to operate, you became something that is moving autonomously. And if you are moving autonomously, that means that you are a free person in the world, because you have the tooling, you have the expertise, you have the philosophy, and you know how to do it. That is the big difference between giving instrumentality and giving prescription. I don't give you prescription, I give you instrumentality. That is a very different thing. Okay, now let's go on. What's going on? Now we understand everything. We have the lenses to understand everything. Otherwise you look at this and you are just completely lost. Stop one of your friends in the corridor. Try to do the test. Stop and say, and try to compare the guy that you stop in the corridor with you. Although all in only 3 hours of difference. How much more things in depth you can say, and not only say, but basically start to operate. Okay? So if you see at this model, now you basically understand everything. While at the image, if you look like that without knowing, you don't understand that clue. So you start to say stupidity, as generally it is. You start to say an amount of stupidity, because you really don't understand what you're talking about. And it's typical. Okay. Okay, now, I think this is interesting for you to understand. Arrive to this point, that is probably the highest point of Eichmann's originality and contribution. There is a thinking that is not really originated by Eichmann himself, but is originating in reality from this woman that is called Zaha Hadid. It's not Eichmann really thinking that goes in that direction. The idea that is parallel to this one, a similarity but is different, is that idea that architecture is generated as a series of transformation of landscape. So it's the kind of interpretation, a deep interpretation of landscape, that we create kind of forces that will shape architecture. That is not typical Eichmann. Eichmann, we see what it is. It's different. It's not exactly this, okay? That kind of thinking is originated really by Zaha Hadid. Okay. These are the two images that are coming together. Look, funny enough, these are coming from my site. If you do intelligent searching images, 10% of the time you end up in my site. This is really interesting. So this, you know, is Ask Uno Uni Roma Uno. It comes from a conference of mine, believe it or not. So I did a Google search. So it is interesting that you want to really to use concepts. So this is exactly what I wanted to do. You understand my way of working. Instead of searching my database, I ask directly to God. So I go directly to Google God, because, as you know, Google is the closest thing that humanity has invented, closest to God, you know that, of course. Has all these capabilities. So basically, I don't go to myself, I go directly to God, and often, he finds myself. I do this interesting tour, and this is a clear proof, you know. I wanted to tell you very briefly this concept, how is the approach of Hadith, you know, that is different than that one of Eichmann. It's the idea that is clearly shown in these two images. The algorithm here is not Balla algorithm, it's Clay algorithm, which is a different thing, you know. It's the idea, you know, that basically landscape, you can interpret landscape as a carpet, in a way. A carpet of these different textures that are all together, okay? And when you start to think to that idea, so that is a different algorithm, has nothing to do with Balla. It's a completely different algorithm. If you start to think within that algorithm, then you say, all right, then architecture, it comes as forces that are generated by the landscape. So there is not an inner difference between landscape and architecture, because they are generated by this. So it's a different algorithm, really, in reality. And just these two pictures will tell exactly this. Now let's go back to Eichmann. So this approach, in a way, bella questa prova dell'esistenza di Dio, this approach, Eichmann was, from some aspect, that belongs to the Eichmann world, from some other aspect is this thinking, is the thinking of landforms. So there is another combination here, and he makes a series of projects, some that are rather interesting. For example, this one is a conventional center in reality. So it's a huge space for having these things that in America are important. You cannot believe what they call a convention center, because once I made a little work in a convention center, so I know what they are. You know, are 10 hectares covered of things. I was invited as a young architect to write, to build a little pavilion of the Italian television that was really a little pavilion that we tried to have an idea in this huge convention center. Well, to make an example, Disney was building the castle, just to give you an idea, no? The castle of the Biancaneve e Settenani. So they were doing that inside a convention center for a week, and that's it, in order to sell Disney products to all other TVs and things like that. This is the only experience that I had. We arrived with a pavilion, but then we had a bright idea, but that is another story. Anyway, this is what is a convention center. So, so within this, he made this, and then you see here, there is a combination of the two ideas. It's a kind of landform, in a way, belonging to that kind of idea, and there are other things, etc. And the other aspect is that here also, in a way, are a little pragmatic. You know, in this phase, you know, you have to build things at the end. You know? So this is a rather interesting building, rather pragmatic. This is, again, a transformation of some ideas. Again, amazing enough, it was already built at that time, the Grand Arch, you know, in Paris. The Grand Arch in Paris, basically, as far as I remember, was the first building in which the idea of the the idea of the or the skyscraper that incorporates an outer space, but it was there. Then this idea is evolved. You know, we have columns, but you go around and you see. I was in Vienna the other day, and I saw a huge skyscraper doing like that. And that idea that you have the inside space. But this actually was basically, as far as I can say, the second one that used that idea. This is another great project that I want to talk to you briefly, because this has impact in a lot of reasoning, because here we are moving to the field of urban design. And the field of urban design is interesting to study. So this is where some of these ideas are used in the field of urban design. This is Rebsok Park. Again, it belonged to that phase, very, very interesting phase of Iceland between 87 to 93, 94. It's 96, let's say. It's the real peak of his creativity, I think. And that one of the studio. And what is Rebsok Park? Basically, it's done again with the same idea. It's done again with the idea of the maps, basically that create some things, and the oscillations of the maps that do create these movements. Again, the movements are in many ways related to a series of contextual situations. They are not completely arbitrary, but they are belonging to this type of things. What I think it is the really bright idea, it is that the forces not only create the organization, the urban organization of street building, which is okay, through that way, so the thing will fit, will relate, there is again that idea that the spaces are all interconnected, there is an object, bam, 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 bam. But there is this fantastic idea in my mind that the forces are incorporated at the architectural scale and also shape the building. That is a fantastic idea. Because it is, how can I say, there is a long tradition that tells that there is a liaison between urban design and the shape of architecture, of course. There is a tradition. But to reuse in this idea, I think it is very nice. What's going on, it is that all these movements of the masses, again, they are not generating by themselves, but they are governed by this permutation here. So there are those grids that determined why certain things are tilted. So they are not tilted for an inside logic that is an expressive logic, e anche gratuito. Non so come si dice gratuito in inglese. Antonino, tu che lo sai meglio di me adesso. Come si dice gratuito? Easy, let's say easy, free, banal, yes. In Italia è più bello, but there should be something. It's not an easy thinking. A cheap thing that you give it for free. That means gratuito in Italian. It's nice that like you give it for free. But instead, again, is that idea of the forces that speak to each other then create a kind of overall virtuality in a way. So cutting of the thing in this way is also a story in a way that goes to the individual building that tells the story of the overall thing. So the overall thing as mapping, permutation, putting the whole thing together is also read at the level of the building. We predetermine some movement that appears to be linguistic, but in reality they are not linguistic. It's the way that you keep the thing together. So I think Rebstock is a really interesting level of that. And again, since you are creating a field of forces within which the design can take place, then the different typology will fit like that as variations. So you understand that this is a typology that is different from this typology, and from a distribution, this and distribution are different from the other, but not all belong to the same families and all are governed by the same system of forces. The same concept, but used at an urban design level, and I think this is very interesting. It is very interesting. And we are talking about the project, no? The ampliamento. Yes, but you know, here we are talking of an intellectual level, how you handle certain things that for a designer are very important. So, if you don't understand a hell, you look at that, okay, it's deconstructivist, okay, this glass is nice, do the same test again, you know? And you understand that you cannot approach things from the surface. Normally speaking, if you approach things from the surface, you make big, big, big mistakes. Big mistakes, not minor mistakes, huge mistakes. Because there is a depth in things, you know, and many things you cannot approach from the surface. You have to approach from the inner forces. If you understand the inner forces, you understand the results. But you cannot do it upside down. And same thing is in your design. You have to understand the inner forces that generate your logic. And then the episodes are a reification of those ideas. But if you do vice versa, you always end up with superficiality. Okay. Probably this is one of the top building of Eichmann. Okay? Probably this, in a way, is the, I think, the highest level, I think, or one of the highest levels, okay, is this church that he made in 1996. Okay, let me see how we are doing here. So there are two hypotheses here, okay? Are strategic. Either we take a 15-minute break, or I go all the way through to the end. I cannot do a break. The only point that I can do a break is this one. So, If I think a 10-minute break, but really 10-minute break, is good so we keep energy. Yeah, 10 minutes. 10 minutes break just for the time of a cigarette, so we keep energy again, you know?